This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. For those of you in the Tampa Bay area, you have any of 12 of the original Hooters brand to choose from. For those of you around the state of Florida, around the United States, and around the world, I think you're familiar with the wonderful concept and all the incentive to attend Hooters to watch football this weekend. Let's find out more.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsboro.
Second straight season, Hooters has been sponsoring in-season portion of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Let's get right to some overviews on where we are. We talked about being at the midpoint last week. We're still right about there. For those of you, and I think there's a majority of you who do a three-week playoffs, week 14, 15, and 16, so that leaves 5 weeks left. I mean, we're over the hump. So the push is on 8 weeks in. And just I want to give you some other observations because I was taking a look at overall production. And some of this is obviously skewed by the fact I know many of you were in the bye week abyss last week. Some of you were in it this week. Some of these numbers are still skewed by the fact that there are teams out there that haven't been on a bye week yet. Some had a bye week as early as week four. Some won't have a bye week still for another couple of weeks. But taking a look in standard scoring leagues, simply standard scoring leagues, without any tweaks, without PPR, on overall production, Todd Gurley is the only player in the top 13. Yeah, top 13 who isn't a quarterback. That's just how good Todd Gurley has been. So if you had the number one overall pick in your draft and you took Todd Gurley, I would imagine it has paid off for you. I don't see any reason you can't be above 500 just based on Todd Gurley's overall production and how it's over and above better than any other running back, any other wide receiver, any other tight end. We'll get to one tight end in particular who's been a huge disappointment through 8 weeks. But Todd Gurley, number two only to Patrick Mahomes. That's how good Todd Gurley has been. The ironic part is I would imagine in a majority of leagues that were picked where you did your draft a couple weeks before the start of the season, before the Khalil Mack trade and before Le'Veon Bell made the decision to not show up. I would imagine most people took Le'Veon Bell number two. So you go from Todd Gurley as the number one pick, who clear and above, non-quarterback, best player, and it's not even close, to Le'Veon Bell with a huge zero. And if you were able to just cut ties with Le'Veon Bell 2, 3, 4 weeks in and dump him for something, looks like that's going to pay off for you. Because at this point, at the time of this posting, it almost feels like Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers are done with each other. ProFootballTalk.com even suggested, although technically this would be illegal, but there's no way to enforce it, that the Steelers could have some representative of a representative of a representative of an organization contact the representative of Le'Veon Bell and say, you know, I didn't tell you this, but if your client doesn't report at all, we won't do anything and he'll just become a free agent next year. And that way the Steelers aren't on the hook for any salary the remainder of this year. We don't have to go through this song and dance next year. And Le'Veon Bell can go do whatever he wants, but he can't do it until next season. And the Steelers will take the free agent compensation. That was in Pro Football Talk earlier in the week. Speaking of the Steelers, though, and speaking of Le'Veon Bell's compensation, you do know that the second highest producing fantasy player, non-quarterback is James Conner. Yeah, so you go top 13 in standard scoring leagues to this point, and it's Mahomes, Gurley, and then it's 11 other quarterbacks, and then at 14, it's James Conner, who looked like he was running out of gas around the beginning of October, and then he had a huge game, just had another huge game against the Cleveland Browns. He's RB2, and he's overall number 14 in standard scoring leagues. I would imagine in 50% of leagues, roughly, James Conner was undrafted. It was a matter of you going out and getting Conner on waivers once the news came out that Bell was not going to show up that Tuesday, Wednesday, before the opening game of the regular season. Some drafted Conner as a handcuff to Le'Veon Bell. Very smart. Some just drafted Conner with that late Powerball, late Mega Millions ticket, where you've already got your starters, you've already got your DST, you've already got your kicker, and you're like, who might work out? It's been the best pick you could have made with that throwaway pick at another position player late in your season-long draft. Someone did it in our league. He's 5-3. No, and it wasn't the owner of Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. The guy who threw the late dart at Conner and even said, maybe Bell won't show up. He's 5-3. The guy who drafted Bell is 2-6. Yeah, big difference. Although the guy who drafted Bell also drafted McKinnon and drafted Mark Ingram, and Ingram couldn't help him for the first 4 weeks and honestly hasn't done very much other than the first game back. So does that diminish Le'Veon Bell's value as a free agent? Will there be organizations and personnel people that look at Bell's numbers, then look at the fact that he took a year off, and then they look at James Conner's production and they say, well, maybe it's the fact that Le'Veon Bell plays with Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster in a very high-quality offensive line, and maybe Pittsburgh's on to something here. There'll still be plenty of suitors for Le'Veon Bell when Le'Veon Bell changes teams, but fair to look at what his replacement has done in James Conner when assessing whether or not Le'Veon Bell can have as big of an impact with a new team as he's had in recent years with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's talk about James White a little bit. James White, who I often call Mr. January for New England. This year, the Patriots have used him and needed to use him in the regular season. And you saw another example of that with no Sony Michel in the Monday night game against the Buffalo Bills. White's the only one who got in the end zone. He did it rushing, but James White hasn't topped 44 yards rushing in any New England Patriot game this year. Not one. In standard scoring leagues, he's running back 7 for the season. Yeah, New England hadn't had a bye yet, but still, what does that tell you? James White was probably also a guy that was drafted in season-long leagues as a flex play, as an additional running back after you already drafted maybe 1, 2, 3 running backs. Maybe White was drafted as your third running back because you were thinking of playing him at the flex with respect to what he has done. Perhaps in a PPR league, his value was higher. In PPR leagues, that's 55 points right there. He has 55 receptions through the first 8 weeks of the season. But it also shows you that you don't need PPR anymore. I mean, that's how much this is skewed. James White is RB7 in standard scoring leagues and has not had a rushing game of more than 44 yards. And he has 2 rushing touchdowns. But because he has 55 receptions and has produced the yardage and the touchdowns to go with it, he's RB7. There again is another argument against PPR. You don't need it. It's outdated. James White's gain, guess whose loss? Gronk. We might be seeing the end here And for those of you that spent, now look, I know there's a lot of buyer's remorse on RB1's name, Bell, to a lesser extent, David Johnson, certainly Dalvin Cook, absolutely with Leonard Fournette. If you spent a second or third round pick on Rob Gronkowski, you haven't gotten anywhere close to what you invested in that pick. In most season-long drafts, Gronk went first, then a half to a full round later, Kelce went, then a half to a full round later, Ertz went. Kelce has returned the value on that pick. Ertz has returned the value on that pick. Gronk, standard scoring leagues, is ranked 174th in scoring. 174. And a number of tight ends are higher than him. If you are a Gronk owner, might be time to sell. Yeah, I know. He could still put up a huge game, have one of those classic catch and runs, runs over a guy, hurdles a guy, wearing the body armor elbow pad we haven't seen since Barry Bonds' late years with the Giants. It's time to move Gronk for someone who doesn't realize he's overall player number 174. Some Patriots fan who will overpay you for Gronk, or some tight end desperate person like this week. Like this week, someone has Zach Ertz and they don't know what they're going to do. Trade him Gronk for an RB2. Trade him Gronk for a wide receiver too. They'll think they're stealing Gronk from you. They're not. Make it a high wide receiver too. You know, someone you can start every week. Someone who's already had a bye week. Now's the time to sell on Gronk before word gets out that his production is so low. Also, Ty Montgomery with the trade deadline. Ty Montgomery is probably worth picking up. If he's available on waivers, grab him. The Ravens evolved this year to more of a passing offense and haven't really had that back out of the backfield to catch passes that Flacco can trust on the underneath routes. Basically, Willie Snead has been running those underneath routes or those shorter routes. Ty Montgomery could be very motivated and used very well in Baltimore on a good team. Nothing he did with Green Bay last week was right, but it might work out pretty well for him and the Ravens going forward. Remember to email me at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. We'll try to get you another podcast to look ahead at some of the bigger games this weekend. You have New England, Green Bay. You have New Orleans and the Rams as a significant game. And then you have dog games like Raiders and Niners, although they both feature tight ends who are much better plays than Rob Gronkowski this week in Cook and Kittle coming up on Thursday night. That is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.